I invite you to be seated, and wanted to introduce a good friend of mine. His name is Pastor Ben Bruns. He is going to be bringing us the word. We've been friends for 15 years. We love the NFL together. We share a fantasy football team that did not do very well this year. But anyway.
We have won before, though.
We have won before, though. Yes, we have. That's good. So we thank Ben Bruns for bringing us the word.
Good morning. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Jesus, as we gather in your house today, we ask that your word would work as we know it does, that your Holy Spirit would work faith in us as we hear your word proclaimed today. In your name we pray. Amen. Our text today is from Matthew's Gospel, and it is a commonly told story, parable, that Jesus shares with his disciples, and often we hear about this in the church. We hear about it in Sunday school. We hear about it in sermons. We do Bible studies on it, and so you may be familiar with this text that I'm going to share with you, and we're going to unpack how we can apply that in our lives today. So we are in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 13. If you would like to follow along, I am going to share some stuff from God's Word that isn't up on the screen, so that where it continues that isn't part of the reading today. So if you'd like to follow along in your own Bibles, please do so. Matthew 13, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Great crowds gathered about him. So he got into a boat and sat down. The whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. Since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. So this is the main text of the parable today. We get Jesus sharing this story. And those of you who maybe have been in church for a while hear about parables. What is a parable? Anybody remember the saying we use? What's a parable? Anybody brave enough? It is a story with a lesson, and we say usually it's an earthly story, something we can relate to, with a heavenly, with a spiritual meaning. So Jesus shares these stories that exist, that happen to people in everyday lives. He's talking about a farmer here. He's talking about somebody that would have been familiar with the people of the day. It's familiar to us as well. We know what a farmer does. You plant seeds, it grows food, you take the crops, and we use them. And so Jesus is doing the same thing here, sharing something people can relate to, but there's always a deeper meaning. A parable actually comes from a Greek word, parabole. It's a big stretch, right? Parabole to parable. But it means to throw alongside, to come alongside, to have something that means something else. It's a parallel thing. And so when we see Jesus sharing these parables, we know that there's not just the illustration part we can relate to, but it's like there's something we're supposed to take away for our lives. As Jesus followers, as disciples, as Christians, whatever word you want to use, when we commit to learning from Jesus and living for him, there's something here. Now, fortunately, in this case, it makes it pretty easy to unpack this parable because you don't always get, this is the story, this is what it means, this is how it applies. But in this case, Matthew actually goes on. The disciples come and they say, why do you speak in parables? They're like, Jesus, why are you doing this? Why are you sharing these stories? We don't care about farmers or seed. We're trying to follow you and do what God has called us to do. You see, they're like, we don't really understand. It's great. Thanks for the story, but can we do what we're supposed to be doing now? And Jesus says, he answered them, to you, my followers, the disciples, it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But To those that it has not been given, for to one who has, more will be given and have an abundance. From one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they don't hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, this is what God's word says. And then he quotes Isaiah. What Jesus is saying is, you guys, you need to realize here in these parables, you guys get it, okay? You people who are members of Promise, who have followed Jesus, who are in God's word, who are committed, you understand these things. That's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. But there's people out there, newer people, people that don't have the background in the faith, people that don't have God's word, people that maybe don't even understand who God is. This is why we do this, is what Jesus says. And so then he quotes Isaiah, and Isaiah said, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull. And with ears they can barely hear, and eyes they have closed. So they can't see with their eyes, and they can't hear with their ears, and they can't understand with their heart. So Isaiah, Old Testament prophet, scripture that Jesus is referencing here, he's saying it's the same today, 2,000 years ago, but for them in the present, it's the same today as it was when Isaiah prophesied. And now here I am telling you it's the same today as when Jesus first spoke these words. And then Jesus goes on, but hey, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and for your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see. And they didn't see it, and they didn't hear it, and they didn't understand it the way that you do. So what Jesus is saying here is, listen, guys and gals, listen, people, here's the deal. I'm doing this for you. But more so, I'm doing it for people who don't know the story of grace, who don't know that I, Jesus, love them, who don't know how much God loves them. And then the best part is, just a couple more verses, that we actually get an explanation here. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches what has been sown. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and receives it with joy. It has no root, endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution comes, immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears, but the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word, understands it, bears fruit. One case, 100, 160, 130. So what Jesus is saying here is, guys, this story about a farmer and these seeds is actually about people who are seeking to understand who God is. And as my followers, I want you to understand your job is to share this truth with people. To share the gospel, to share the story of Jesus with people who don't know Jesus. That's what it's all about. And he even tells us in this is what's going to happen when you do this. When you share Jesus with people, when you share God's word with people, people are going to respond in these different ways. So be prepared. And this is something we know all too well in our culture too, right? When we want to compare something and understand something, advertisers use, I feel like I'm going to fall off here if I walk too far. Advertisers use it all the time. This idea of comparing and contrasting things, right? You remember the commercials? I'm a Mac, I'm a PC. And it was all about choosing one or the other. Or how about Verizon? Can you hear me now? You know, Verizon's better than these other networks. Coke or Pepsi. You use this idea of contrasting things so that people say, oh, I want this thing, and I don't want this thing. And so what Jesus is doing here is trying to get us to go, okay, well, we know that God's word, we know the Holy Spirit, is working when we share faith with people. But how it works And how people respond to it is different in each situation. So Jesus is trying to get us to realize, as his followers, that sharing God's word, sowing the seeds, going out and scattering, that's what we're called to do. And so often as Christians, we think, man, I want to tell this person about Jesus. I want to invite this person to know what I know. I wish this person would go to church more, whatever it is. And we take all this responsibility and all this weight on ourselves. And we think, oh, I'm not going to say anything. I don't know enough. Or I'm afraid I don't have the answer. Or what if I get it wrong? And the beautiful thing is that Jesus tells us right here, in the whole thing, we don't have to worry about that part of the equation. We don't have the responsibility of saving people. Ben, Scott, it's not our responsibility to save people. Same's true for you. Our responsibility as Jesus followers is to speak the truth in love. Here's the awesome part of the story. When you sow the seed, when you share the story of Jesus, when you say, did you know that there is a God that's bigger than anything you can imagine, that gave his one and only son to die for you so that you can live forever and it's free? And when you trust that that's true, you get to spend eternity with God. That's it. Job's over. Not really, but but when we share that, it is. It's the Holy Spirit takes over. I've been doing this for 15 years. I don't think that I'm better equipped to convince somebody of the truth of God's word than the Holy Spirit is. I'm pretty sure he's got that one. And so what I'm hoping to do today is to encourage you to say, hey, our job is to go out. It's to share the gospel. It's to spread the seed. It's to do it with joy. It's to watch what happens and respond. But it's also to let the Holy Spirit do his thing. And to trust that God is at work through his eternal word. Because he is. And so when Jesus explains all this, he wants the disciples to know, this is what happens. You guys go out, you sow the seed, and then the world's going to get in the way. Satan's going to get in the way. See, Satan doesn't like it when people respond to God's word. He doesn't like the growth. He doesn't like what happens when God's word produces fruitfulness, when people come to faith. So Satan gets in there and tries to throw things off. And you know, we've all experienced these things at some point in our lives. When Jesus explains what this means, some people get excited at first. They hear the word, and then it's like the next day they forget it. Some people hear the word, but all the noise around them chokes it out. Some people get really excited, and it looks like it's going to grow really fast, and then it falls away. Sometimes people get all gung-ho and they're like, yes, I'm all in. And then one little thing comes off and before you know it, we're not involved anymore. And then he even tells us, but those of us who share the word and watch it grow, sometimes it's only going to grow to this amount, sometimes this amount, sometimes this amount. Different people respond in different ways. And so as Jesus followers, as Christians, what we realize is the Holy Spirit is going to work among us and also in spite of us. And that we don't have to feel like the weight of someone's eternal salvation is completely on us. In fact, we shouldn't have that weight on us. We should let the Holy Spirit take it from us. And Jesus desperately wants us to know this, that what we really are called to do is to change our perspective. That we don't want to just always think that it's completely our responsibility, that we don't have enough education, enough answers, enough faith. Because we know Jesus says even faith as small as a mustard seed is enough. So if we have a tiny bit of faith and we share that faith with someone else, guess who takes over? Come on, you know this one by now. The Holy Spirit. And so when the Holy Spirit is at work, we can watch him work and come alongside and participate with him. And that when this happens, it's not always going to go to plan. And this is where we struggle as sinful, fallen human beings. Because we get so excited when we see things happening. We get excited about something going on at church. We get excited about someone coming to faith or appearing to come to faith. We get excited and we're all in, and then we get really discouraged when it doesn't go our way. But what Jesus is doing here is saying it's going to go that way. Sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes there are things out of our control that are going to go wrong. But the point of this is we keep sowing the seed. We keep watching and celebrating what God is doing. We keep participating with him because it's our privilege to do so. We don't do this because we have to be a good Christian. We don't do this because it's how we earn our salvation. Not at all. We live this out. We share our faith because I want, you want, we want everyone to know what we know. That you don't have to be afraid of death. That you don't have to live in fear. That your sin, whatever it is, your worst sin you've ever committed, the thing that you've done that still you're ashamed of sometimes, whatever it is, Jesus died for that. You are forgiven, you are redeemed, and you are loved by Jesus Christ. Why wouldn't we want to share that with everybody so everybody can know that? So it's our privilege to go out and sow seeds. And yet Satan gets in there and he's like, you can't do it. You're not a farmer. You don't have enough seeds. You don't know where to plant it. You don't know. So just don't do it. That's what Satan says. And Jesus says, forget all that. Each one of you are capable. And I'm even going to tell you what to expect. And so I hope that we see in this that God's love for us, for all people, is evident here. That God's word is always going to go out and work because the Holy Spirit's at work. God's word will never return empty or void, we sometimes say. And that we find joy in celebrating what the Holy Spirit is doing and how he's doing it. So I hope this week, as you go out and you think about this, that you're encouraged a little bit just to let the Holy Spirit work through you. It's kind of like just get out of your own way when the opportunity's there. And the Holy Spirit is going to speak the truth through you. And then as we watch what God does with those seeds, it's our joy to be a part of it. And over, we continue to sow that and to find joy in that. And that each and every one of us know that there are times in our lives where there are ups and downs, where we feel like we have a lot of faith. Sometimes we feel like we have a little faith. But faith is enough. And that Jesus Christ died for us, lives for us, and because of that, we too have life forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray.